Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you once again bless us in so many ways, know these new mercies that you give to us each and every morning, we thank you. And because we know that Jesus lives, he lives near us and he is always with us. Father, we ask that as I turn to the message this morning, especially that it would be your words here, that your words of love, that your words of life may reach our hearts to lift us up, to share once again that Jesus lives. He's died, he's rose again, and lives with you for eternity, and that is exactly what is happening to us, O Lord. You will bring us to him once again. As I did say, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Christ, who is our rock and our redeemer, amen. I'd like you to all turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at the first seven verses there. Ephesians is after Galatians and right before Philippians in the New Testament. Let's see here, page 827. Page 827 in the Pew Bible. That is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. As Paul says there, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." And I hope that's true for all of you. But I hope that this next part is not true for any of you, that you'd have to face this in your life. An intruder, an invader, a stranger going through your house. I, of course, have not faced anything like this, but I know that someone has. And they've told me about this, how their family had left their home and a thief came and tore through their house, knocking out their dog who was guarding his territory with sleeping pills. And then he or she went through all their things, their valuables and money, stealing those things away while also stealing away their peace of mind. For weeks after that incident, the kids only felt safe at night when they were sleeping with their mom and dad in their room. Once again, I pray and hope that you never have to face a situation like that. Yet I know we all do in some ways. An intruder has come into our house and has robbed all of us. The Bible speaks about this. The robber for us is sin. Sin is an invader. Sin is an intruder. Sin is a stranger that has come into our life, into our space, and robbed us of our real on this planet. It was not God's original plan. Sin was not part of God's equation. Sin came about because man was granted free will. Now, God did not design humans to be like Pinocchio. We do not have strings attached to us. We have free will, though. We have a choice. And we chose to go against God's perfect plan, and now we have all been affected. Sin has invaded the human race. It is an intruder, and it is a thief. It is a stranger and a robber. It's taking from us true life. Before we go on further, we need to ask a couple of critical questions. First of all, what is sin? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." First of all, it says everybody is in on it. Everybody has this problem. Sin is missing the mark, or as Paul says here, sin is falling short of God's glory, falling short of God's glorious standard. The mark is not set by a governing body here. It is not set by education. It is not set by cultural standards, conveniences, or on a whim, your feelings, or your perspective. The mark is set by God, and sin is when we do not meet that mark. Now, some people think that mark set by God is like the proverbial carrot in front of us that we can never reach, that God sits back and laughs at us while we clamor around trying to reach it. No, dear friends, God sets a mark here because He truly has made us. He wired us. He designed us. He created us. He knows what will bring Him the ultimate, the maximum fulfillment in our experience on this planet. He sets a standard. It exists so that if we follow it, we will fulfill our wildest dreams and hopes. God is a good God, and He wants us to have maximum fulfillment on this planet. The next question is sin real? We could have asked this question even before we asked the last question. Is sin real? That's the biblical wording of the question. Let's also ask, is wrong real? Is bad real? Is evil real? Just look around. Is there wrong? Is there bad? Is there evil? If you don't believe it, turn on your television, pick up a newspaper. You hear things like ISIS, Ebola, Ferguson, Missouri, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We all know there is wrong in this world. The Bible makes it all explicit as to where it all came from, too. It came from us, all of us. We were born bad. Do you ever wake up bad? Perhaps mad or annoyed? You feel like you're ugly that day, saying things like, "Don't talk to me. Go away." This is our situation, our real condition, our reality. And that's why the Bible says all have sinned. There is wrong, there is evil, there is bad all inside of us. Now we have to ask the question, is sin really living? You can be a breathing contributor to society but not truly be alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins." That verse is written to people with a pulse, but insinuates you are breathing but not alive. You're existing but not really living. It tells us that sin is just like a thief, an invader that comes in and takes from us our true fulfillment, existence, purpose, and meaning in this life. In Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now this is a profound statement because, first of all, it tells us that sin is fun. Let's just establish that for a moment here. That's why we actually do that sin, whatever it is. We have fun when we do that. We go out and do something that we probably should never have done, and the moment that we do it, we say to ourselves, "That wasn't amazing." And then we have the bill. The bill comes, and the wage is your life. Sin will let you breathe for a little while, but eventually it will kill you. It will make you pay. So if sin is real, and we all sin, What do we do about that? Pretty simple. Stop sinning. Stop being mean. Stop being selfish and envious, lustful and jealous. Quit gossiping. Quit being annoying. Just come on. Try harder. So you do. You try harder. Sometimes as you're doing it, you feel like you're on a roll and you say to yourself, I'm doing it. You're doing good. You're trying harder. You're doing better here. And then one day happens. Boom. You lose it. You yell at your wife or your husband, your kids, and your dog. You get mad at the stranger because they took the parking spot you wanted. And you walk around declaring that you hate your life. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Sin lies at your door, God says, and its desire is for you. But you should master over it. You know you would if you could. You tell yourself the next time you would do better, but you probably won't. So what now? You're asking yourself, what can I do? The answer to this is nothing. Absolutely nothing in and of yourself. Sin is real. You are a sinner. It's stealing from you every day, and there's nothing you can do about it. You are no match for sin. Haven't we learned all of that just yet? Haven't we figured out that we are no match for our own nature? Our nature is really bad. So I've got you thinking, now what? We turn to Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And God tells us there, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Because he is rich in mercy. That word rich means here many, many layers. Endless, to be exact. His mercy knows no end. Scratch off one level of mercy, and there's a whole new layer of mercy. Layer upon layer upon layer of mercy is yours. His mercy has no end. It is new every morning because God jumps in with his great love. It's because his love is great. It's not just love here. It is great love. And a passage that we all know very well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. He just didn't love the world here. He so loved the world. His love is great here. He has great love, and all that love is towards you. It is towards me. God is sinless and perfect. God is the only one with power and resources to deal with this invader, the robber, the thief called sin. And because of who he is, he does what he does. God did not look at our humanity and say, there's potential here. If I invest in it a little bit, I'll get a return for my investment. This is not how God thinks, nor is how his love actually operates. He needs no return, no reciprocation. He loves because he is love. His love is toward us, no matter what. His love is just always there. Not because of what you've done, what you're going to do, who you are, or what you're currently doing. His love is just towards you, because that is who he is, and that's how he works. God has so much love and mercy, and all that love and mercy is towards you. This next part, I want you to count with me how many times God says through Paul the word us in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. Listen carefully. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Before you flip to the next slide there, I'm going to ask the question, how many times did I say the word us? Four times, correct, good. Because of his great love for us, it said, he made us alive. He raised us up and made us sit together. I think we get the point here, don't we? God clearly wants us to be together with him. God is determined to be together with us. God wants a relationship with you. This is not about religious routine, customs, traditions, or some ancient habitual act that we all perform. He wants us to be together and to be together with him. Now that we have heard this news about God and what he's done for you through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again for all of us, the next thing we need to do is believe. Just believe. And what does that mean? It means to receive. Just receive the love that he has towards you. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just accept it and receive it. And that simple belief of acceptance and reception, all of the riches that are Christ are yours forever. You belong to him. You are with him. You are made right with him. Even for us who have already believed, it is good to remind ourselves again to trust, to believe, and to receive again that Jesus is indeed my righteousness. To remind yourself that you're going to be okay. That God is not mad at you. God approves of you. And he loves you. For Jesus paid the price, and he was the only one who could do something about our problem of sin, that intruder. While Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out these words. We all know these words. My God, why have you forsaken me? He wanted people to hear those words. And when he cried out the word, why? The only answer to the why is you. If the Father would have audibly responded to the Son's cry here, he would have said, for them, Son, for them, I let you go, my perfect, sinless Son, that I might accept them. This is the good news. Jesus died, was buried, but rose again. And our new life rose again that day too. I'm not bound by sin. That intruder, that invader, that stranger that came into my life, even at my first breath. Sin has been conquered. Sin has been eliminated. And I am free from it. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is made alive and is made free from sin. When it comes to Jesus, dear friends, you have a sure foundation. All of a sudden, your ups and downs, you realize two things. You are forgiven and you're accepted. That is why we should always expect good things. Always believe that our future is going to be something extraordinary and exciting because our God is with us. Our God is for us. Our God loves us. Our God is always there beside us. Because of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts in his keeping, guard your hearts in his peace for now and forever. Amen. At this time, we continue our worship service with our profession of faith, found in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found and projected before you on the screen. Would you please stand?